and welcome back to the JFKS Ideas podcast. I would like to welcome our special guests. First off, one of my co-hosts, Frida.
Hi.
And next, my other co-host, Louisa.
Hey.
And our special guest who will be discussing our highly debated topic at this school of gender in sport classes, Carmen. Hi. Okay, so before we get started, I'd first like to make a quick shout out to Nurkan Falk, who made a very generous donation to JFKS Ideas. If you would also like to donate to our podcast, please do so at buymeacoffee.com/JFKS Ideas. With that, welcome to the podcast, guys. So first, I'd like to hear directly from Carmen. I know you wrote an article for the Ideas Journal on gender in sport classes. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and your opinion?
Yes. I think it's coming from a very personal part of my life, which is just that I've been in both the sport classes at JFK, both the boys and girls sport class, the mixed sport class at JFK, as well as mixed sport classes outside of the school. And I wanted to sort of share a perspective from the outside, whereas I think there's a certain point JFK students get to when they've been here for so long that they can just sort of accept the system how it is. And I kind of wanted to challenge that because I think there's a lot of really important issues that gender-segregated sports class cause. And so this article was to bring light to those issues.
Very cool. Thank you. So the Ideas Club did a survey around the school and we gathered some data. I'd just like to bring it to you and see how you respond to this. So first of all, we had 74.8% of students disagreeing that sport classes should be gender segregated from grades 1 through 6. And then we had 38.8% of students disagree that sport classes should be gender segregated in grades 7 through 12. So you can see a huge decrease in the older grades. How do you feel about that?
That's so interesting. So what I'm thinking is, you know, basically 8 in 10 people disagree that they should be separated in elementary school, which is great. I think everyone should be doing sports class together. And I'm struggling to maybe understand why that changes in high school. And part of this, I think, is just what people are used to. Classes are mixed until 5th grade at JFK, if I'm remembering correctly. And that seems to be accepted here. But then as soon as you get into high school, when classes are separated, people, I would assume, see that as the norm, which is why people, what does it look like? 60% of people agree with the fact that they should be separated. What confuses me about JFK is that suddenly they're mixed back together in 11th and 12th grade. And I'm, you know, trying to understand the reasoning for that. I'm sure we'll hear some, like, other perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah. Frida?
Well, I don't want to position myself on that right now. I just wanted to say I think that's because generally people think that especially girls will feel uncomfortable during puberty having mixed sport classes. And I think that's where the idea comes from, that younger students and older students can have mixed sport classes. And while people might feel insecure about their abilities and stuff, I think that was the reasoning behind that.
I think it's really interesting you bring that up, and I'd be really curious to see, like, the gender of the people who are voting in this, if it's, like, mainly guys who think that classes should be mixed or vice versa. That's just an example. I'd be really curious to see how that looks. Maybe in a different article we can talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we have a couple of people who have given their opinions specifically on why they think that sport classes should be segregated in the older grades. So I'm going to play one of the clips for you now and just see what your opinion is. How do you feel about gender segregated sport classes at JFK?
Personally, I think that it's beneficial. Whenever we have to share sport classes with, for instance, the boys, there are a lot of people who say, I'm going to sit out for this or I don't want to do it now. And it generally just becomes more demotivating for a lot of people. Although, like, if we were to mix it, then the feeling of being unsafe or not wanting to participate would be lessened. But I still think that it's important to respect when people don't want to do it with other genders and the opposite sex. So I think that it is, in the end, quite beneficial.
All right, so Carmen, how do you feel about this first opinion?
I think first I want to come from a place of understanding, which is that when you are feeling uncomfortable around a group, it seems natural to want to avoid them. And for that, I think this person has my respect. But I have to say that I think this feeling of uncomfortableness is caused almost completely by the fact that we're separating people who don't need to be separated. This person mentions at the end that they don't think that this would be such a problem if classes were never separated. And that's, I think that's exactly right. Like, I think they sort of found their own way to this. It's really important to see issues not as a fact, but as a problem to work on. And if the problem is you're feeling uncomfortable with the guys in your sport class, that's probably because A, you have not had sport class with them in a while, and B, what they do in class that may make you feel uncomfortable is also as a result of them being protected. The fact that we have mixed sport classes means that behavior that makes young women uncomfortable is much more tolerated, if I'm going to be honest. When I was in the boys sport class, I was pretty surprised at the amount of sexist jokes and just the degrading of the girls sport class. And even it feels so weird to me saying the boys, the girls. I'm like, why did we ever separate them? The way you teach tolerance from both sides, the way you teach young women to be comfortable in sports atmospheres with mixed genders, and the way you teach young men to be respectful in sport atmospheres with women is to have them in class together.
Yeah, okay, so coming from that, there's also another opinion that I'd love to get you to hear that kind of adds on to what you were saying, and maybe you can respond to that.
What is your opinion on gender-segregated sport classes at JFK?
I mean, I don't mind it personally. It doesn't affect me too much. What I will say is the premise is very questionable. The fact that they're mixed and then they aren't, and then they are again, really, I think, shows that it's like something that is kind of nonsensical, because if you're going to say, okay, you know, like fourth graders and 12th graders, they can mix, but like for some reason, fifth through 10th graders aren't different. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Additionally, it worked fine. You know, during COVID, they were mixed. I think that worked logistically. I think also just looking at, you know, non-binary people. I know people who they switched from the one and then they realized, you know, I actually want to go back to the other, and it's this whole bureaucratic hassle. And so I think just in terms of the classes, it's easiest to say our school is going to mix them, and we're going to have the understanding being then boys and men have a responsibility to behave themselves to like the basic standards of human decency. And then we can all get along and enjoy our sport class and not have anyone get, you know, belittled or feel uncomfortable because they have to choose.
All right, so I see a lot of nodding around the circle. Carmen, do you want to respond to this?
I think he summed up a lot of what needs to be said really simply. And this part about, you know, young boys and men being held accountable for their actions and taught to be responsible. I mean, responsibility has to be taught is, I think, really important.
And so to bring it back to the original statement, I assume you also believe that sport classes shouldn't be segregated to integrate non-binary people or people that don't fit the gender norms that we're representing in these sport classes. Could you maybe speak on how or what message our sport department right now may be sending by having these sport classes separate and not having a specific place for these students that don't feel they fit into this gender binary?
Yeah, and I actually have a few sentences I wrote in my article about this that I'd like to share, and I wrote that the message the sports department is sending right now is that there are two genders and that they will be separate. And I wrote that I look forward when sports can just be for people. I mean, this is probably the most obvious negative aspect of a separated sports class is that there's only two classes and there's more than two genders. If this is news to you, welcome. The world is a bigger place than boys and girls, and our sport class should be as well. And the sports world is a much bigger place than boys and girls. And I think the first place to expand that is in recreational school sports.
Absolutely. And then also to come back to this human decency that this student so rightfully pointed out. We have another student's opinion that talks about how they feel uncomfortable when men exhibit behaviors that aren't exactly on this level of human decency. But before I get to that, Frida, would you like to quickly speak on this?
So from what I've experienced, there's a lot of, especially guys, that have like a bit of a macho attitude, and that often will make fun of the girls' sport class, or generally will start laughing and be like, oh, but she's a girl or something. And I find that extremely annoying. And I think in that regard, like, you have to teach those people to not make those remarks and not say, oh, okay, then we're just gonna like protect the people that are being offended by these statements. We have to tell the people who make these statements that that's not okay.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Louisa, do you want to add on to this?
I also definitely think when you were talking about how boys aren't told that what the behavior that they're exhibiting is wrong, I also think it's the responsibility of the person, like the authoritative person, in this case a teacher, to really remark on that. And I've heard of teachers who haven't done that before, and I genuinely think that as a teacher, especially as a sport teacher, that you should go the extra mile to make sure that every student in your class is at least comfortable. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make them love sport class. You don't have to really motivate them to become, was weiß ich, like an Olympic style athlete, but at least have the decency to make sure that every single person in your sport class feels comfortable in their own skin.
Exactly. So with that, we're going to take a look at another opinion that shows kind of where a girl has felt very uncomfortable in her sport class. How do you feel about gender-segregated sport classes at JFK?
Me personally, I am for segregated classes, just because sometimes when we're doing sport with the guys, I feel uncomfortable because, I mean, when I wear like sport clothes, like shorts and tank tops and stuff, it can be a little uncomfortable to be wearing stuff like that around guys.
All right, so Carmen, how do you feel about this one, the fact that some girls feel uncomfortable wearing certain clothes in front of the guys, that they may feel, I heard this from a couple of other people, that they may feel kind of watched or seen in a provocative way just from their clothing choice?
Well, I just wanted to encourage this person next time they feel looked at in sport or feel like their clothes are sparking unnecessary criticism, to point out how ridiculous it is. Change has to come from both sides. And if you are uncomfortable, if you're doing something about it, and I can promise you you're not the only person feeling this way, then change will be seen. If someone's staring at your shorts, say, you know, I'm just doing sport. You're just doing sport. We're both sweating. Nothing to see here. And I think that's, you know, these problems are easy to respond to. It just takes the first step, which can sound hard.
Yeah, so yet again, relating back to the human decency that we heard in one of the first two. Louisa, do you want to comment on this?
With the thing of saying, oh, I'm doing sport, you're doing sport, there's nothing to see there, I genuinely don't think, in my own experiences as a ninth grader and with boys who are perhaps very immature, that I don't think it'll resonate with them. Because if you genuinely have somebody who simply believes that they have, you know, they have every right to ogle girls in sport class, and it's completely acceptable because, you know, society promotes things like that and doesn't tell them to stop or reject, prohibit it, things like that, then I don't think simply saying, you know, stop is gonna I definitely think it's a step right direction, and I think if you're a victim of that, then you should. But I also would like to remark that if you're a victim of it, then I've heard from a lot of people that you kind of feel like uncomfortable, you know, uneasy, maybe even like a little dirty, if that's one way to put it. And that can definitely, you know, you can connect that to the fact that a lot of victims don't speak up. And then it goes back to the, you know, position of authority, that if you do speak up and then the person that you talk to doesn't do anything about it, then you feel ignored. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I completely agree with that. I've definitely heard comments from sport teachers that I've had where they've told the girls to stop modeling or play hard like the boys when the boys are throwing themselves on the ground, clearly being very disrespectful. I think, Carmen, you'd like to speak to this as well.
I had a really great interaction with a sport teacher, actually. They sat down with a class and just discussed, like, what it means to be doing sport and sport clothes and moving around. And I think that as a sport teacher, lessons like this are really important. You're not just teaching people how to throw a ball, but you're teaching people how to support one another in a game. And respectfulness is a part of that.
Absolutely. And I think another aspect of this that I've heard from quite a few people in sport classes is kind of to what extent sport classes should be competitive. And I'd like to get your guys' opinions on how you see competitiveness in, I know you two, Louisa and Frida, both have segregated sport classes at the moment. Carmen and I are in integrated sport classes, and I'd like to see how you guys view competitiveness in your sport classes. Frida, would you like to speak on this?
Yes. So I've often been, like, I can be pretty competitive in some games. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. There's a lot of people, especially right now in my class and grade in general, that don't really want to participate in sport class and aren't very motivated, so they'll just stand around in the corner and not move when the ball comes. And that annoys me, to be honest. And then, to a certain extent, I'm like, why can't we have a proper game like the boys' class is having? Why is it, like, standing around for us? And I, like, girls will remark in a negative connotated way that I'm so competitive and stuff. And yes, that's true, but I think to a certain extent, it's not always bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting that you talk about the fact that you've had some negative experiences in your sport classes with how competitive you can be sometimes. And I'd like to get another viewpoint from another student who also talks about the difference in competitiveness that he sees between girls and boys. How do you feel about gender segregated sport classes at JFK?
Personally, I think that gender segregation in sports classes is necessary or beneficial because, of course, men and women have different attitudes towards sports. For example, men are more competitive. They strive to be the best, and they see sport class as kind of a fun class. And I know with at least a lot of women, they're not very competitive. They don't try to be the best, not even because of the grade.
All right, so I think a lot of you have, or all of you have, opinions on this. Let's hear from Carmen first. Carmen, how do you feel about this statement?
Well, I think that generalization is incredibly dangerous. This person seems to have fallen privy to messages sexism has sent. I know many, many people who are competitive, and they're just people, and they just like to play sports. I know many people who aren't competitive, but have sport class and have to participate. And this difference in competitiveness is seen in every single class. You have people who are really motivated in math, and you have people who never want to see the letter X again. A sport class is like any school class. You should be in a place with a wide variety of abilities, because when there's a wide variety of abilities, you have the chance to learn from your peers. It is also the responsibility of teachers to cater to a wide variety of abilities in their class. Combining sports class, and I'm going to be honest, if you believe what you said, that doesn't change what I'm about to say, which is that a good class has people with lots of different types of abilities in it, and a good teacher should be able to manage them. But I'm going to be honest and say that what you're saying isn't true. These rules that you've grown up with you are what society tells you to be until you realize that society is not you. And I hope maybe that you meet some not competitive boys and some competitive girls in your life and learn to change, because the world is moving faster than you are.
Louisa, would you like to add on to this?
One of the things that, stuck out to me was, quote unquote, for guys, sport is a fun class. It's like, I'm sorry, do you think for any reason that sport class isn't a fun class for girls? It's like, okay. I also definitely agree with you, is that stereotypes and boys and girls are such a dangerous thing, because that the moment you generalize all boys are competitive, all girls are non-competitive, then it creates this kind of, you know, role that you have to fit yourself into, the mold that you perhaps don't.
Yeah, okay. All right, so then with that, speaking of the kind of gender roles and the sort of generalizations that you guys spoke about, I'd like you to listen to another opinion from a student who talks about the difference in the curriculum between the guys' sport classes and the girls' sport classes, because this is also an issue that I've definitely seen with a lot of people. I'd say that people are generally more focused on the curriculum in these segregated sport classes, and I'd like to hear the student's opinion on how they think the segregation affects gender roles.
What is your opinion on gender-segregated sport classes at JFK?
I think one issue is that it perpetuates fairly harmful gender stereotypes, especially in terms of curriculum, because like girls' sport classes, they do a lot more gymnastics. I think we had to do like dancing at some point, while the boys do things like soccer, or they run around and they play like ball sports, which kind of, because of the societal connotations of both of these sports, I think just perpetuates that narrative that girls can only do dancing and gymnastics.
All right, so does anyone want to speak on how this has affected them or what they've seen? Frida, do you want to start?
So I agree with the student. I think that this is where society versus JFK community comes in, because we have society that pushes especially boys to start doing ball sports, while often gymnastics. I've been in gymnastics, and there were pretty much only girls there. There was one or two boys at some point. And society just pushes these stereotypes of, oh, based on your gender, we know what sports you want to do or play. And then in JFK, on like a game day or something, you will do what you also do in your free time, right? Because that's fun, and you're good at it to a certain extent. So that then gets included into these curriculums. And I think there's a huge danger in that, because at a certain point you're not really giving people the space to pursue the sport that they want to pursue, because they're like, oh no, we know already what sport you want to do, you don't know, like, so learn what you want to do. And Louisa?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the comments on gymnastics that you made. Like, personally, I dislike gymnastics, but I mean, every year we have it at least once, and I find that I would much more enjoy a variety in the sports. I mean, it also comes down to the fact that if you have a variety in the sports that you would like to, you know, try out, you can also particularly think about the fact that if you like something in sport class, then you could pursue it in your own free time.
Absolutely, thank you. So moving on to kind of our final question that I would have for you guys before we maybe come back to some potential solutions that the sport department could look at. Do you think that the gender differences at our school is something that can even begin to be addressed through these non-gender segregated sport classes? Or is this gender divide that we see, especially in the later grades, as we saw from the data that we looked at the beginning, is this kind of a nature thing that really can't be solved through these sport classes? Is it a nurture thing that can't be solved through these sport classes because it's just too big of a norm at this point? Or is it something that you really think that these non-segregated sport classes can work to improve?
Okay. In response to this, I just want to read something I wrote in my article again that I thought I summed this up better in my article than I can just come up with right now. But I think the first thing I want to say is that the difference in physicality between girls and boys is not noticeable enough in recreational sports to require a split curriculum. And the physical attributes which differentiate sexes are far and few between, far and few compared to the physical differences within sexes. You know, we're all growing at different rates, and I don't think that's grounds to say that, you know, girls are X and boys are Y. And I'm going to be quite honest and say, like, the question of is this enough to bridge the gender, I don't know what you want to call it. I'm going to call it sexism. Is it enough to change the sexism that the school? And I'm going to say, if you're worried about is this enough, then you care. And if you care, I urge you to try. And I urge the JFKS sports department to try and change, which doesn't seem like something that's happened since the 60s. And I think that we won't know if this is going to be enough to, and I don't know how do you define enough? I mean, that's a whole other question. But I think this is a step in the right direction. It's a necessary step in the right direction. And I think it will really change how people view sports and gender at JFK.
Absolutely. All right, Frida, do you want to make the last comment on this?
I don't think that you can completely change this, because obviously the JFK community isn't society as a whole. We can still try and create a safe space in the JFK community. And I think that's really important, because at other schools, I felt way less comfortable than at this school, especially with these topics, because there's other people who will understand what I'm getting at. Just the fact that the Ideas Club exists is like a way of showing that at least some people in our JFK community really care about this topic. And then something that Carmen also mentioned in their article is that if you want to divide people by skill, by like into different sport classes, then do it by skill. And we're coming back to the question of nature versus nurture. Yes, there is a hormonal difference between boys and girls. But I don't think that, especially at JFK, there won't be any top athletes. If someone really wants to pursue the career of an athlete, they won't be staying at JFK. They'll be going to a sports school. So at this point, I think that the argument of different bodies is not really applicable to JFK, since it's not a sports school. And I think if you don't do so much sport, then there's no actual problem with mixing the sport classes.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for giving a little rep to the Ideas Club there. Love that. So with that, I'd like to move on to some of your final thoughts. I'd love to hear, I know we've talked a little bit about this, but we haven't specifically focused on it. If you have any solutions or suggestions for the sport department, if they happen to be listening. Carmen, do you want to get started?
And I just wanted to say that my opinions on this topic are largely modeled by the Women's Federation for Sports, by the way. I highly recommend you look at their resources if you're curious about this topic. And what they suggest is that mixed sport classes are a necessity, and they are a necessity from K through 12. There's no reason to split them from 5th grade to 10th grade, period. And I suggest that, you know, if this change is too much for you, or for you being the sports department, that next year is a really wonderful time to start. We have homeroom classes for a reason, and one homeroom class can be one sport class. There's no need to separate boys and girls. As far as non-binary students go, I hope that there is more accessibility to a gender-neutral changing room, and or maybe one more gender-neutral bathroom in the school, because I know people who change in that as well. I think that there's no more reason to sit around and twiddle your thumbs on this issue. I think it's pretty clear that now's the time to mix the classes.
Josie, I'd like to hear your final thoughts, actually. As your host, like as our host, you haven't really spoken that much and have let us speak, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll give my closing remarks on this. I think that it is definitely a difficult issue. I mean, even for me personally, I feel like I sometimes, although I try my best not to be, because obviously I understand the implications of the gender norms, I am sometimes demotivated when I am placed in a sport, in the mixed sport classes with the guys. But I also understand that a big part of this is the fact that I was in gender segregated sport classes from 5th to 10th grade, and that was just what became kind of normal for me. I remember before that point, I was in a US school, and there was no gender segregation, and it was also the most normal thing in the world to me. I played with the boys. I played with people of other genders, and it made no difference to me. So I really think that, although right now for the older grades, this may be seen as kind of a safety issue where women sometimes feel uncomfortable or demotivated, or that men are acting in a way that's sort of like predatory in some regards, I think it's really important that we make this change and we integrate these sport classes so that maybe our generation of students may still have to experience these hardships, but future generations don't, and that we can change things so that they can have a better experience in sport classes and not have to have these kind of difficult conversations. With that, I'd like to turn it back to Carmen just one more time. If you have any resources that we can link in the show notes, that would be wonderful. I know you mentioned one organization. If you could just mention any last resources you'd like people to check out if they want to learn some more about this.
Okay, yes. I'm looking at my sources I used for my article. For educators, I really recommend, it's called SHAPE, Society of Health and Physical Educators, which has a really great list of guidelines for including gender diverse students in their sport classes. There's also the article that I highly recommend if you're more into the science part of this, by, his last name is Williamson, which is What is Driving Gender Inequalities in Physical Activity Among Adolescents. But I can above all recommend the Women's Sports Foundation. They have taken data from the last around 100 years of professional and recreational sports and put together a really amazing list of recommendations, suggestions, and ways to support students, especially female and non-binary students in sports, that I think would be great for everyone to read.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So with that, I'm just going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Just another reminder that if you'd like to donate and support our podcast, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/JFKSideas. Again, buymeacoffee.com/JFKSideas. With that, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast with me this episode. Bye.